Blog Talk Radio.
All right now. Let's go back down home and sing some of Mama old songs. Listen. Down through the years, the Lord has been good to me.
Bishop this morning coming to you from down here in historic Turner Station, 121 Oak Street, praising that you've had a wonderful week, and thanking you all for tuning in to the broadcast this morning. Oh, bless his name. I heard David said, I was glad when he said unto me, come and let us go into the house of the Lord together. Lord, we thank you for one more Sunday. Yeah. In fact, this is the very last Sunday in the month of April. It seems as though it was just last week, God said, time waits for no one. At this time next Sunday, we'll be into a brand new Sunday, going into a brand new month. We'll be in the fifth month of this year. And before we know it, as the word said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be crossing over into 2023. If the Lord allows us to do so. But nevertheless, we thank him for this journey, this part of the way. We don't live to see another day. We can say, thank you, for you've been good to us. So we thank you for that. This morning, scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of St. John, and I'm going to attempt to read for your listening pleasure, taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 20. And I want to read for your listening pleasure. Verse number 1 down through and including verse number 8. Amen. And the word of the Lord reads thus. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she ranneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples who Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooped down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeing the linen clothes lied, and the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple who came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. Amen and amen. He was not there. And the word says, and he believed. Eternal God, our Father, we come this morning thanking you, Lord, for another Sunday which we will never see again. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the early morning rising, and smelling of your hair, and seeing your sun shining brightly this morning. But most of all, we thank you for the urge that were on our minds to get up and to make our way to the household of faith. And for that, Lord, we have come, we have gathered together under one accord, that we may be able to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. We pray, O Heavenly Father, this morning for those that perhaps wanted to come to this particular tabernacle or other tabernacle, that they were not able to get up or rise up and be about your business. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless them anyway. For we know that you are God who sits high and you look low. And we know that your order of the day is love. And we know that love covers a multitude of sins. And Lord, we know that even though that you sent your son down here into a chaotic world, and he got up last Sunday morning, oh Lord, the world, it seems as though, has done as they did before he even came, and have turned their back on you and all, and which all that you all about. They don't even lift up nor praise the name of Jesus. And but we pray for them, oh Lord, and we ask the Lord that as a man of God will come this morning for the time that has been allowed to him to break the bread of life. It will give your people that are here and that are tuned in this morning that blessed assurance to know that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That they will have that presence in their hearts and most of all in their minds, knowing, oh Lord, that they believed, as the disciple said, he believed. And for that, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all that are in attendance here under the sound of my voice. Oh, Lord, whether they're in the sanctuary or whether they're at home, in the hospital, the convalescent places, wherever they may be this morning, we ask that you would bless them, oh, Lord. Give them some of the desires of their hearts. Oh, we pray, oh, Heavenly Father, that you would give them what they stand in need of. Oh, Lord, we ask that they will build their hope and their treasure on heavenly things and not put too much stock and faith in the earthly things. Now, Lord, we pray that as we continue to go forth in this service that you have your way, we ask this in Jesus' name we do pray. In our hearts and our souls say amen, amen, and glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, it's another Sunday morning. Another Sunday morning. We got people that has not even given it a second thought. Some this morning opened their eyes and saw the sunshine and smelt the air and give themselves credit. I'm here one more day. I did it all by myself, not realizing that you sent the angels stationed them by the bedside that they slept last night. And by your grace and your mercy, oh Lord, you recalled those angels from the commission that you had given them back to your heavenly realm this morning, that they may be able to continue to worship you. But nevertheless, Lord, as we said earlier, that you're God of love, and in spite of our wickedness, in spite of our shortcomings, you continue to love us anyway, looking and hoping for that great day when all of your children would be at rest with you. But we thank you anyway for all that you have done. We thank you because today is in this tabernacle down here at Caesarea. It's nice and it's warm, and I'm tempted to cut the heat off. In fact, I cut the two heaters off earlier, and I can feel the warmth penetrating up here into this pulpit, and I don't want to get uncomfortable. It might cause me sometimes to think in the fleshly mode that instead of being in a heavenly place, oh Lord, I'm down yonder, and I don't want to have it reminiscing in my mind. Ooh, it's hot down here. Yeah. I don't need to call on Lazarus to have him dip his finger into a pool and wet my lips. I want everything to be all right. I don't know about how anybody else feels, but I know it right now is warm up here. Now, I know if it's warm up here, it's got to be hot down there. And my mind says, I don't know why someone would make the decision that they want to go yonder instead of going up. Because if it feels like this here, oh my, it's got to be excretion hot down there. Why she would be in that type of a torment when you can be comfortable sitting at the foot of Jesus. I don't know how we think sometimes, Lord, but our minds just don't seem to grasp a hold of you, the wise things, such as I'm reminded when the Martha got mad with her sister Mary, and she went complaining to Jesus. And even though she was doing something nice, she was in the kitchen and she was preparing the food for Jesus. But Mary was sitting there at the foot, and Jesus had to say to Martha, "Martha, Martha, Martha, you're doing well, but Mary is receiving the good part." In other words, Mary was receiving that salvation. Getting that personal relationship with Jesus the Christ. But nevertheless, she let it be known, you know, she needs to be right here with me. I'm standing over a hot stove, burning coals, and trying to prepare the meal, and she's sitting out there getting all the meat. Even though I'm preparing meat, but she getting the better meat. She getting the prime rib, and I'm fixing this tough old steak. I want some of that prime rib too. Amen, somebody. Yes, indeed. We have served an awesome God, a wonderful God. Amen. Amen. Just for a moment, I'm going to just go back and talk about the 20th chapter, the verses that were read for your listening pleasure thus far. And what had taken place in the sepulchre, in the graveyard, in the tomb of Hermas who gave the tomb, like the barber tomb, and what was taking place when she went to complete what had to be done for the preparation and the burial of Jesus Christ. Some of the things they weren't able to complete because the time had ran out and it was in the time of the Passover. So the first day of the week, we found according, and this is according to the Gospel of St. John. And I believe I mentioned a few weeks ago about the Synoptic Gospel, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which records something somewhat different. And we find that they had gone to the sepulchre early that morning. It says actually it was still dark on the outside, and knowing the region that they were in, when you're in the area of Jerusalem and Judea and all of these places over there, and I can speak personally myself because I've been there. And they said that they had gone early that morning to the sepulchre to complete what had to be done for Jesus' burial. And they said when they got there, the stone had been rolled away, and actually they got there still in darkness. And we know that the sun rises here in the eastern world, or over here in the United States. This morning the sun rose around 6 a.m. Over there the sun rises at 4 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock. when the sun begins to rise up from the east. I've been there many times and come out of the tent and look and see the sun taking its place, coming and rising up through the clouds early in the morning. 3:30, quarter to 4, the sun is making its entrance. So it had to be some time before then to conclude what had to be done. We found that the stone had been rolled away, and they were concerned for the fact that the Lord wasn't lying there, and yet it did not completely dawn on them that he had mentioned earlier in his ministry that he would lie down or give up his life, and on the third day he will rise again. And he did. And to leave indication that he had rose and left from beyond the tomb, it says that when they went in, when they finally got there and went in and took notice and looked around, they said that they saw that the linen had been rolled up or wrapped up and laid in a place. And to distinguish the fact that he had risen, they said, and this is the only gospel that records the fact of the fact that he had a napkin that had been placed over his face. He took the time to fold the napkin neatly and lay that in a separate place to indicate the fact that I'm back, I'm here, I have been raised from the dead. The linen in one place and the napkin in the other place. The linen at the foot and the napkin at the head. Folded neatly to say, I said what would happen and I have risen with all power in my hand, given in heaven and earth. And now there is a commission, a task that you must do now that you have seen this. You know, it wasn't the soldiers that interfered, that took and hit him to do the thing that I said that I would rise in 3 days. And slowly their minds began to look back. And sometimes we have a slow mind to remember certain things that have been discussed before us earlier. And as we continue to go, and as they perhaps continue to go through the course of today, that day they begin to reminisce, begin to recollect what was mentioned to them earlier in his ministry as to what would take place. And the fact that on the third day that he would rise again. And they began to understand that fact. He had left the grave clothes, as he called his friend earlier in that 11th chapter of St. John, when he called the Lazarus to come forth, and they talked, his sister and his two sisters talked about the stench and the fact that he wasn't going to get up, and Jesus had to remind him that I am the resurrection. And they pondered with that, but yes, in the last day he said, I am the resurrection of life, and told Lazarus to come forth. And then turns around and does this magnificently again in the Gospels as he got up on that third morning, early that day, leaving the grave clothes behind, him. And I imagine the disciples pondered and wondered about the fact that could not comprehend all that had taken place, even though they had walked with him, they had slept with him, and they had ate with him for a period of 3.5 years and not really knew who he was. Oh, my, he's an awesome God. His work had been done. Prophecy had been fulfilled. He did not come to destroy the law, but so that the law itself may be fulfilled. Given all power under heaven and earth, and by the name of Jesus, that's the only name that we can be saved. That at the name of Jesus, it says that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and everyone will say that this is Jesus, the Son of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I pray someone, that some are listening in this morning. It seems as though my voice is somewhat, I have a harsh voice this morning. It seems as though I'm somewhat losing my voice. It started yesterday, but nevertheless, we're going to go on anyway, and I'm going to give you what the Lord has given me today. But before then, we're going to play a song, and then we'll come back, and we'll take up the tithes and the offerings. And during that period of time, while we taking up the tithes and the offering, I'm going to ask the pastor that she will come with any morning announcements at that time. Then I shall play one more song, then I shall come back briefly and finish out the sermon that has been prepared for this particular morning. Amen. Amen and glory to God. Hallelujah. Mm. Yeah. This is one more. Y'all know that the bishop is a soda person, but I'm gonna take some water this morning. I'm gonna leave that soda alone right now. I ain't gonna give it up, but temporary. That's gonna be temple. I'm just gonna leave it alone for a moment. But I'm believe me, as soon as my voice gets better, I'm going back to the soda bottle. Hallelujah. Thank you. I thank God. I didn't say I was going back to something other kind of bottle, but I'm going back to the soda bottle. And all right, y'all pray for me. Pray with me. Thank you. you know, you just deal with this is temporal that you that you're living in. The conditions and all that is temporal right now. He said, but I got something better in store. The best is yet to come, somebody. Hallelujah to that. Oh my, you ain't got to worry about no whole lot of angst and pain anymore. I'm trying to lie down and try to get up early in the morning. He got everything prepared for you. He said, you even got your own place set up, got your own mansion. You ain't got to worry about trying to outdo Billy. Billy got one just like you got. All of them are the same. And the best thing about it, he said, there ain't no male or female up there. Everything that worships in me, as is recorded in John 4:24, must worship in spirit and in truth. That means flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You got to go in the spiritual form. So when he comes back to reclaim you, he reclaims the spirit and sends the body back to the dust of the earth. You got a new living place. And the same when you look upon the face of him who we see, who came to be the Redeemer, who came to be our Lord and Savior, and the soon coming King, he says, when you look upon him and when you see him, he said, you shall be just like him. And on Good Friday, when he set out first people, didn't seem to understand that. It wasn't the thirst. It wasn't water. It wasn't none of those needs. He had come 42 generations now, and he had done his service that God had requested him to do in 42 months. And he thirsted not only for the angels in assembly, he thirsted for the fact that he wanted to be back with the Father in the spiritual realm. He had to give up the spirit in order to take on a fleshly body, to come down here into a dying world. And we can't see to understand or comprehend what he has said and what it's all about. It seems as though it behooves us, and as Paul said at one point in time, the knowledge. I just can't seem to attain. I can't comprehend it. It's a mystery. It's not a mystery when you know who he is. It's not a mystery when you know where you're going. It's not a mystery when you know where he came from. It's not a mystery when he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And the Father is the one who receives the Spirit. Amen, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Enough of that. I'm going to say I'm not the preacher, but I guess I am the preacher this morning. Just hold for a moment. I know you're anxious. Before we do the tithes and the offerings, and we have one more song, and before that, the pastor is going to call with the morning announcements. But before she comes, if you took notice this morning when you walked into the sanctuary, and for clarification purposes, for the people that are here at Caesarea, so that you know when you enter into this place and you see that the gold cross that's standing there on that pole, that is what they call a bishop's staff. All right, so you know on the premises of the sanctuary outside the gate, there's a sign that says bishop and pastor. That lets you know that you have a bishop in the house, as well as this sign, this other staff that is sitting here behind me. That is what they call a pastoral staff, so that people would know there is a bishop and a pastor in the house. That's what that staff, well, that's a pastoral staff, and that is a bishop staff. So the house is well covered. So when people come in and want to know, you can tell them, and they can identify, oh, well, I never see it in my church. Why? It's because they don't take the time to provide what's needed to be in the church according to the will of God. That's how things ought to be orchestrated. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. At this time, I'm going to have the the pastor to come up with our morning announcements. And then we shall have the tithes and the offerings, and then we shall play one more song, and I shall come back for a moment. Oh, my, my. So the time is coming. Yes, we come. All right. Praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. The bishop has named the choir last week. In case you don't know, it's called Celestial Choir of Caesarea.
All right.
That's the choir's name. I understand that they won't sing today, but they'll be singing next Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have a couple of announcements. We are doing something for the building fund, which will be July the 9th. From 4 to 7, I did get a hold of the photographer.
Okay.
He will be coming on that day. He will take pictures. He'll take pictures, and he'll also take pictures at the table.
Okay.
So we'll have two sets of pictures, and you won't have to pay for any to him. But we will collect for the church, pictures for the church, and we'll later tell you that. The other thing is today after the church service, we will speak about the choir robes. Choir robes, we'll pick them out and I will order them next week. But if we pick them out today, we'll be able to order them next week, okay? And I told you earlier that we did have the gentleman coming to do the music. He will be coming from 4 to 7 also that day. So we'll have some food, we'll have some music, and we'll have some pictures. And that'll be it. That will be a chill-out time until Sunday. The next day we'll come to worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So don't forget, after service, we will select our robes.
Okay.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
And amen. Just one more time for me. Thank y'all. And I do want to make a slight correction. I said no other churches or many other churches do not have the things set in place and in order. And I do want to correct myself. Now, mostly you'll find those in the Catholic churches, if there's a bishop that's assigned to there, as well as the father, they call them fathers, I believe, in the Catholic denomination, and that is known as a under-shepherd. Your pastor is an under-shepherd, as well as Moses was an under-shepherd called by God. Some of the Pentecostal churches do have it set in order, and some other denominations you may walk in, and you will see those in the premises. So when you go into a facility, a tabernacle, or a church, and you notice those things, and it's good to observe when you visit other places to see how things are set up or how things are done in order. So when you enter those places, you know that they're being done according to the will of God. And follow the protocol. Amen? Amen. So I just wanted Sister Rhea to know we may be a small church that perhaps not known too well, and we are known down here in Turner Station, so, but not known too well in the city of Baltimore, the state of Maryland, and that does not make a difference. The biggest thing is, though, that we are known and covered by God and God's Spirit. That's all that matters. It's God who gives the approval, as long as we are worshiping Him in the right manner. And He says that wherever two or three, He says that I'm there in the midst. And so I ain't gonna worry about the rest. And perhaps sometimes it's best not to have too many, but just to have what they call a faithful feeding. Lifting up the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, tithes and offerings, they have been collected. Father, we thank you right now for these tithes and offerings that have been collected this morning for the upkeep of the building. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that you will continue to show us how we are to use them for the upkeep of this kingdom. Then, Lord, we pray for those this morning that wanted to give but could not give for whatever reason. And we ask, oh, Lord, that as you sit on, as you look down with a listening ear, oh, Lord, that you open up the windows of heaven. And as you have done so many times before, pour them out a blessing, oh, Lord, that they won't have room enough to receive. Again, that they may be able to come, leaping, shouting for joy, to return unto you the portion that has been required of us. This we ask in Jesus' precious name, in our hearts and our souls, and amen.
Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And certainly want to take the time to thank each and every one for the giving this morning, the pouring out of your hearts, and most of all, bring here in the midst, in the presence of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. At this time, we will play one other selection, and then I shall come back briefly with the sermon remark for this Sunday morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to his name. Praise the Lord. All right. Sister Joan?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That water made a difference.
Yes, sir.
You know, like I said, even though I'm a soda drinker, anything to sweet, you know, I put it up to my face and drink it quick, fast, and in a hurry. But my desire this morning wasn't for the soda. I had a thirst, somebody. And you know what I'm saying? I had a thirst, and I needed that temporary feeling this morning. I needed that temporary cleanser this morning. I needed that which the woman at the well came to, and Jesus said, this water you're thirsty again. He said, but the water I give to you, hallelujah. Somebody, you never have to worry about thirsting again. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to hear one more selection.
I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall come.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and all the time he is good. We have had a high time this morning, for we have come to praise the Lord. Maybe the last day on this side to praise the Lord. But I thank him for his goodness and his mercy, that on the other side, we can praise him all day long. And he ain't got to worry about drifting off to sleep. He ain't got to worry about being fed. We can bless the Lord at all times. Like the angels up there, the 20 and the 4 elders in that assembly up there, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. They come to praise this morning, to praise him. And he has risen. I read for your listening pleasure earlier this morning, taken from the Gospel of John, 20th chapter, when the ladies, the women, goes to the sepulchre to continue to prepare his body for his final resting place. And we think Joseph and Arimathea, I couldn't get that name right earlier, a borrowed tomb who he gave Jesus for a temporal period of time. And Jesus, I imagine, told him, I just need it for 3 days just to lay my head down for a moment and get up. But even though that he went into the tomb, we know that Jesus had work to do. Even though that on the cross, he mentioned to his Father, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And here in the Gospel of St. Matthew, part of the sermon is coming from this morning. Just briefly, we most of us know the story of how the women went again to the tomb. As I say, even in the Synoptic Gospels, it is recorded differently because they have the names of different women that also participated in the preparation for Jesus the Christ. And here in the book of St. Matthew, just for a moment, I want to conclude for today for your listening pleasures and your thoughts and for the meditation moments as you meditate about Jesus himself and all that has taken place and what has gone on in the sight of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The 20th chapter. And I want to start my reading at 28, and I'll start reading it, verse number 10. And when you have found it, respond by saying amen. Verse 10. St. Matthew. Okay. Verse number 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and they shall see me. Now when they were gone, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him, and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this thing is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Father, we thank you for the few moments that has been allowed to us to go back and go over this word, sermon this morning. We pray that your people will have a listening ear and open heart and a mind to understand. This we ask in your name, we do pray. Amen. If I could leave a thought with you this morning, Pastor Bay, Sister Jones, Sister Cole, it would be go. He says go. Let us know that we are to go. Our brothers and my sisters and those that are listening in this morning, make no mistake about it. You have been called for a purpose, and that is to go and to preach, to teach, to tell people about Jesus the Christ, that he has risen. Go believing. Don't be a doubter, but nevertheless, to go, to inform a dying world that this man, this Son of God, has come, who has laid down his life that we may have a right to eternal life. Go. It is important, my brothers and my sisters, as we intertwine and as we come into one another's appearance and different situations of life, and we come across one who has a dying sister or a dying relative, it is important for us to leave the words when we come that Jesus left the disciples himself with the last words of instruction. And that is that the best is yet to come. I know that it seems difficult in these times, and as you look upon the remains of an individual, but the instruction is to go and to tell them that Jesus has gone and has prepared a place for you. He lets us know that where he is, that we will be also. He gives us the instructions to go. He tells us that we are to go first of all, believing. We are to go to teach. We are to go to assist in baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have been called to be commissioned to be a witness for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says that if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. But it is our responsibility to go and to lift him up and to let everyone know that there is a better way. Many times when we go to a funeral home or a homegoing service, it behooves us and the family more or less seem to ponder in their mind, Pastor Burgess, is this all that there is to life? You know, you're born one moment and you die the next moment. But what happens in between? Is this it? Is this all that we have to live for? And so many of us don't even believe in Jesus, and so many of us don't even seem to believe in the fact that there is life after what we call death, even though that Jesus says that you are asleep temporarily just for a moment, for a short period of time. But there would come a day, a great a resurrection day, when we will all get together in that heavenly place. There will come a time. And it's hard because our minds don't seem to comprehend the fact that he came, he bled, and he died. And not only did he do all of this, but he healed, he preached, he performed miracles, he fed, he changed water into wine, and people find that to be impossible. But the woman with the issue of blood said, if I can just touch the heel of his garment. Hallelujah, somebody. I know that all will be well. I know that I will be made whole. This woman, Sister Burgess, she believed that he was who he said he was. He was who people proclaimed him to be. And she believed. And he said to her, someone has touched me. The virtue has gone out of me. And by her doing this, it made her whole. A miracle. He performed miracles. He took two fish and five barley loaves of bread and sermon on a mount and fed 5,000 plus people with two fish and five barley loaves of bread on a mountain. Likewise, at one point in time, another occasion, he did the same with 4,000 plus people, walked on the water. His disciples saw this, and yet still, at some point in time, they were amazed. And that's why I say to so many people today, you got to put your hope and your faith and your stock in Jesus. There's nothing too hard for God, but you have to trust him. You have to believe and you have to have faith in him. I don't care what you're going through this morning, if you're on your dying bed, if you're on your healing bed, just turn your face to the wall and call on the name of Jesus. As I said so many times in so many other sermons that has come across this pulpit and always seem to talk about Hezekiah and the fact that Isaiah went and told him that to get your house in order. And because the fact that Hezekiah was a praying man, he took the liberty to turn his face to the wall. And one might say he cried out to the Lord and explained and talked with him and asked him about the things that he had done in his lifetime. And because of the fact that the Lord heard his cry, he gave him 15 more years. The word of God says, go and teach and preach, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go, he says. In other words, I don't mean to take liberty upon yourself to just take a seat and not do anything. It is Jesus' work who has been completed. It is our commission to go and to start and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus the Christ. To tell a dying world that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And to back up just a few chapters. Chapter 3, it lets us know to the fact that we all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. And that's from the pulpit to the door, that there is no one that is sinless, with the exception of the fact that his son came, bled and died on an old rugged cross for the remission of our sins. We have been covered with his precious blood, a blood that will wash us from the sin that we commit, a blood that will wash us whiter than snow. We ought to go and to proclaim the gospel. We ought to tell it when they don't want to hear it. We ought to tell it when they do want to hear it. We ought to proclaim and lift up the name of Jesus. The question that ponders with the city of Baltimore today, the state of Maryland, the United States of America, all of these 50 and I believe two states that is in the same assembly, that we have come short to the glory of God. Why you say that, Bishop? Because we have taken away so many things from the will of God. We have took it upon ourselves with Roe versus Wade, with the fact of taking the preaching, not the preaching, but the prayers out of the school. It has come with the fact of how we have turned our backs on God today. Children, bearing children, have been children. We are not lifting up the name of Jesus. He says that I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. It bothered me as I lay some nights in my bed, where and what is the answer to all of the madness that is taking place in the world? Over 102 murders committed in Baltimore City, and then looking at the three that were shot just a few days ago in the District of Columbia. Why? Because, world, we are not lifting up the name of Jesus. Again, he says that if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. We are not lifting up the name of Jesus. Young people don't seem to know anything about Jesus. But every cussing word that is repeated from our mouth, they know, because they pay attention to what is being said from an adult mouth and how we carry ourselves and present ourselves in their presence as well as in the presence of God. And God is tired, and God is coming, and he's showing us in a different manner by taking the young folks out, by saying the blood that has been spread across the doorpost has been erased, and I'm taking the young people out just as well as I took the firstborn out of the presence from the children of Egypt. Why? Because you are not lifting up the name of Jesus. Politicians don't seem to understand. They're in it for a race to get money because they thirst for greed and because they have other things on their mind, and we're not paying attention to the will of God. We lie every night down to sleep. We get every morning with our eyes open. We leave God's ear, and we don't even say thanks to God. But just one more thing. Thanks to God. Mm-hmm. For just a little while.
Yes, thank you.
Longer.
Thank you. Yes.
Thanks for your keeping power.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I may have gotten up short this morning. It may have drifted somewhat from my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I may not have been in the right coherence this morning. Perhaps my mind wasn't set on thee. But I thank you because you gave me a good mind. Not a great mind, but you gave me a good mind to remember to give you thanks for one more day. So many of us fail to do that. So many of us, when we see young people, we don't want to correct them. And yet you're correcting something that has been shaped and molded in the image and the likeness of God. Not only is our job to teach, to preach, but it's also to correct, to inform a child. And when I say child, sometimes a child who could be a mother along with her child, whether it's a he or a she, it is our responsibility to correct them. You're not doing that in the proper manner. We don't step up and step to the plate anymore to bat a hit, not a home run, but just to get on first base. We don't correct anymore. Children cussing out children. Children telling children they own children, you will never be nothing. You're just like your daddy. He wasn't nothing. He's in the house of correction right now. Perhaps that's where you need to be. He's in that same place. Our minds don't matriculate to God's understanding. We lean to our own understanding, and we don't acknowledge the ways of the Lord. Female or male, young children coming up, laying them out, cussing them out, dragging them, doing any and everything in the presence of other people. No one seems to have the gumption to say it's all right to correct, but to correct in the right manner. Your son or your daughter that you're laying out right now just might be the next ambassador of the United States. Why are you so apt to put poison in their minds, in their hearts, with a bitter pill, instead of putting the sweetness of Jesus in their souls? And they lay them out, they cuss them out, they embarrass them in the presence of people. And they get this attitude, and they get this mindset, because of the fact that the family member who's ever in charge of them lay them out, cuss them out, tell them that you ain't going to never be anything. And after a period of time, it begins to dwell in the spirit of the child and in the mind of the child and in the heart of the child. And their heart and their mind become hardened as well as Pharaoh's heart got hardened because of the fact when God instructed Moses to do certain things in his eyesight, and it says that his heart got hardened. And when you got a hardened heart child, a child becomes vindictive, and a child becomes with a malice feeling of mind to get back and to do any and everything, not in the will of God, but in the will of the self to say, I got back. That's why in so many cases when a parent died, you will hear a child who will say, good riddance. I never cared for them anyway. Instead of teaching them love, we teach them hate. And they go out on a daily basis in the streets of Maryland, in the state of our city of Baltimore, committing these various crimes, as the devil says, I go to and fro, seeking to see who I may devour. And these children are growing up in this manner because they feel if I take somebody else's life, I'm hardening them. It doesn't matter with my life, but I can gain because I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty because of the status that individual had on the east side of town, as well as the status that's on the west side of town. If I can eliminate, then I'll have it all. The world is going to hell in a basket. Too much of hatred, too much of crime, too much of murder is being exploited on the TVs, in the movies, on anything that you see today. There were certain stations that did not allow certain things that come into the presence of the station, and now it's everywhere. And a child don't have anywhere to turn but to turn to look up to the hills to from which cometh his help. If he knows anything about where their help coming from, realizing that their help coming from the Lord, and how can they know the way if the parents don't know the way because they haven't been taught about Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. How can they know a better way? And yet, the preachers and the parishioners have the answer. It takes a Good Friday. It takes the Palm Sunday. It takes a Resurrection Sunday to realize the significance and the importance of Jesus the Christ. I mentioned so many times before as I spoke about Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and the fact in John 11:35 that Jesus wept. And I said, well, why did he weep? And so many people will say he wept because he had compassion. And he did. He had compassion for Mary and Martha and for Lazarus. But when he wept, He saw the conditions of the world. He saw a time such as this. He saw the fact that he had came to give his life for a wretched world such as this. And he never said a mumbling word. But he saw it all in his eyesight. Nevertheless, he suffered in that garden. Large drops of sweat and of blood poured from his forehead. The Bible says that he got weak for a moment. And he come to his hands. And he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Seven words he said it from that cross for the world's sake, so that his Father, not only believed in him, but knew that everything had been accomplished, but that through him that this world would be saved, and that there's still hope is not over yet. Church, it's not over yet, people of God. It's not over yet, world. It's not over yet, preachers. So many times we preach about getting back to the old landmark. We need to realize and to revent and go back to lifting up the name of Jesus. Not only as we preach and we teach, but we ought to lift his name up. Lift his name up to let a dying world know that Jesus is the one by whom you will be saved. That there is more to this life than what you see. That the best is yet to come. Amen. Word of the Lord says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man, the things that God has in store for them who love him. And my question is, do you love the Lord today? If you love the Lord, we ought to give him a shout this morning. Love you, Lord. Lord, we love you. We love you this day. Lord, we love you for all that you have done. Lord, we love you. And he says that we ought to go, to go, to go, and I'm coming to my end now, to go to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and to teach them all things, and to be observant, and to watch all things that has been directed unto to go, to inform a dying world, to preach this gospel. And sometimes when that child's mother is belittling them and calling them every name but a child of God, perhaps it's sometimes if he don't say a thing, but Lord, bless them. Just order, utter those words of, Lord, bless them. And perhaps when she hears or he hears the name of the Lord, it would perhaps bring them down from that height, as well as when David played the harp for Saul. It brought him down. It calmed that evil spirit that was dwelling in him at that time. Sometimes you can speak a miracle. It don't have to be a whole lot, but Lord bless them. In spite of what they doing. And perhaps by you say bless them, they are here. And perhaps by hearing it, it will cool or soothe that evil spirit that is dwelling in their midst. Go, baptize, teach all them all things. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We ought to go. And we ought to teach. And we ought to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't be afraid. You can't say, I ain't going to utter nothing. Sometimes you got to be bold. Remember, and so many times we, as Christians, we forget the fact that he says, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And perhaps by you stepping out on faith and uttering the words from your mouth, he's right there to keep you from any hurt, harm, or danger. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. The Great Commission to go, to teach, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go. Father, we thank you, O Lord, for the time that has been allotted to us to come with the Great Commission that is to go into the world and to proclaim the gospel. And as we go, we know that we go in a dark place. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your safety. We ask for your protection. A hedge that it will be built around us that will keep us from any hurt, harm, or danger by receiving and accepting your commission. This we ask and we thank in the blessed name of our Son. We do pray. Amen. Go. Go. Well, Sister Rhea, the time has winded down, and certainly we want to thank the Archbishop who kindly gave us 30 pieces of silver. And I hope that's not going over your head. You're here this morning, Pastor. And I'm going to break that down for you, what I said, 30 pieces of silver. And I'm saying that she gave us 30 more minutes this morning for the broadcast for its entirety. So we did thank you for that blessed 30 pieces of silver, not like the 30 pieces that Judas received, and wound up throwing that away because in the end he was still unsatisfied with his relationship and his condition with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The door of the church is open, and we know we can come as a candidate for baptism, and this is also extended to you as well that are listening in this morning as a candidate for baptism. You can come with a letter from another church, as well as you can come based on your Christian experience. And certainly we thank each and every one this morning.
I'm here.
We have Sister Cole. Now, Sister Cole, you don't kind of go over my head. But I'm just joking with you. And I know that the angels in heaven are rejoicing this morning. Sister Cole has risen, stepped out on faith, that she will come this morning, that she will give a hand to the pastor, and that she will give her heart to Christ this morning. And certainly we here at Sister Rhea are rejoicing to have you to step out to become a full-fledged member here at Sister Rhea this morning. It makes my heart grieve, and I'm trying not to shed them tears. You have been with us not part of the way, not some of the way, but all of the way with this church. So not only are the angels rejoicing this morning, but they had to step aside. We are rejoicing as well. And the pastor will come and receive your hand as you give your heart to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor? All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And the word says that he will add to the church daily.
Amen.
And certainly he has done that in his time. And we rejoice because he's given us some faithful few. And that means a great deal, to receive a faithful few, one that has been called, as well as his son, who was called not to be served, that he would come and serve. And that is a part of our responsibility when we step out on faith and come and give our hearts to Christ, that we are following in his footsteps to be a servant, but not to come to sit, to hear a service, a sermon, a song, and then go out the door. But if you see a piece of paper, to bend down and to pick up the paper from the presence of the Lord in God's house, that shows that you are being humble enough to serve. If Jesus can wash the feet of his disciples, certainly we can be obedient and try to keep the household of faith clean and immaculate in the eyesight of God. We thank you once again, Sister Cole, for stepping out and giving your heart to God and your service to the church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory.
I just want to say that even though I've been knowing her for 15 years. We've been in existence about 7 years for the church.
Okay.
She has been here every step of the way and never joined.
That's right.
But now she is a member.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And, I had a moment of laughter this morning, Sister Cole. I had to pick with you. I knew what that was all about, but I just wanted to prolong it for a second. And I made a joking remark. Excuse me, you have gone over my head. But in the same manner, the Holy Spirit saying, you know what this is all about. Let your heart rejoice. Thank you, Lord. Well, Caesarea, we have one more disciple, and our responsibility is to make disciples. We were called to make disciples.
Amen.
Christian is one thing, but a disciple is another.
Amen.
Christians were somewhat Christ-like, trying to walk in his manner and in his way. But to be a disciple is to be elevated just a little higher. That is to take another step upward. Climb it, Jacob. Ladder. We know that the C comes before the D in alphabetical order. And each step that we take, we are taking another step higher to the presence of the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
Amen, somebody. And now I want to thank everyone who listened in. On this Sunday, we hope that you had a hard time in the Lord. We hope that you received something that you didn't know much about, that you can take it and you can meditate off it, and you can regurgitate over the next week as you go through your earthly and your daily chores. And as we leave from the premises of this place at 121 Oak Street, down in Turner Station, Maryland, the historic Turner Station, Maryland. We want to say to you, until next time, John and Wilfus here at 121 with the Bishop and with the Pastor of Caesarea Christian Community Chapel. And as always, don't forget to look over the scriptures that we're giving this morning, coming from St. Matthew, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, St. Matthew 28, that was 9 through 16. And then 1 through 9 were for John. Read them during the course of the week. And as we always say in closing, remember this as you go through the course of the week and hold on to it. Remember, love is God and God is love.
Can I pray? Can I pray? Until I find the Lord. I shall go pray. Until I find the Lord. I pray. And I pray. Until I find the Lord. Said I just couldn't sleep at night. Until I found the Lord. My soul just couldn't sleep at night.
time ago. Back down in a little town called Tyler, Texas. I hear mama saying this, you know what she said? I got the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I'm crying to Jesus until he sanctified me. I cried and I cried until I got the Holy Ghost. I just couldn't be at ease until he changed my life.
Oh, you don't know, Michelle.